is a dentist.
A man who runs a filling station.
Correct. Pay the man $8. What is a wife?
A woman who sews up that rip in your coat that you tore helping a blonde into a cab the night before.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant. Presented by Johnny.
Well, here we are again with that quiz program that decided the school teachers they had better go back to work. Our experts consist of three missing cars and a train of thought. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Hammock Gardner, who has just written a book entitled The Cow Jumped Over the Moon or Old Buttermilk Sky. But here he is, Mr. Hammock Gardner.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howe.
No doubt.
Yes. Once I bought a handsome cow, then came the awful blow. I never got a drop of milk because I bought a cow named Joe.
That was a poem?
Bully, wasn't it?
Oh, please. I thought you were a jerk. Next, we have a woman who is so bow-legged, she looks like a donut with one bite taken out. The only thing she has ever had whistled her was a tea kettle. Here she is, direct from the basement of Collier's Mansion. You couldn't go to the masquerade ball. Why couldn't you go?
Well, the women had to wear a costume to match their husband's hair.
Well?
My old man's bald head.
Mr. McConnell, you would have been a sensation. A bald-headed woman.
Okay. Next we have a man who has to wear cotton in his ears to keep the sawdust from falling out of his head. A man who was so bald the day he was born, the doctor didn't know which end to slap.
Say, remember that job I told you I got last week? Mm. Well, I'm not working there anymore.
I see.
No, so the boss said something to me that I didn't like, and I'm not going back until he takes back what he said.
Well, tell me, what did he say?
You're fired.
Yes. Mr. Sheldon, it's about time you knew that nobody ever got any results laying down on the job.
No, how about a chicken?
A chicken?
You got him there.
Yeah, I was laying for him.
Will you please stop laying him around here? Now, let's get on here.
Well, that was quite a yoke.
All right. Those are the experts, folks, so you'll just have to make the best of it. Here's the first question. Let's try hard this evening and get an answer.
Yes.
Here's the question. If an airplane mechanic works on an airplane, what does an automobile mechanic work on?
Mr. Howard, that's a mechanical question, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I love mechanical questions. They're so mechanical.
They're so mechanical. Well, what about the answer?
I'm just dying to hear it.
Oh, I see. You died years ago, but you haven't got sense enough to lay down. Mr. McCown, do you know anything about mechanics?
Do I? I was out of the student mechanics the other evening, and what I didn't learn.
You learned something about mechanics?
Mm.
All right. How many bolts has a cylinder head?
I can't tell you that. You see, the night I was out with him, he just worked on the clutch.
On the clutch. Will you please try and answer the question? How many bolts has a cylinder? Wait a minute.
Hey, wait, that wasn't the question.
All right, it wasn't the question. I just made a mistake.
It was your father who made the mistake.
All right. The question is, if an airplane mechanic works on an airplane, what does an automobile mechanic work on?
Every time I ride in my car, I get soaking wet.
You get soaking wet riding in your car?
Yeah, it's fluid drive.
It's a good car for a drift. Now, let's get on here. The question's about mechanics.
My old man is very mechanical.
Yes.
He can fix anything. Last night there was a leak in our gas stove, and he went to work on it with a blowtorch.
Yes.
By the way, where do you live now, Mr. Conner?
On the roof.
On the roof.
That's fooling the OPA. No fooling. Will you cut it out? Cut it out and try and answer the question. If an airplane mechanic works on an airplane, what does an automobile mechanic work on?
Time and a half.
Time and a half. Please, that's not right. What's going on here?
Mr. Howard, my car broke down yesterday.
Yeah, did you take it to a mechanic?
No, I took it to a doctor.
You took your car to a doctor?
Yes, because there was something wrong with the knee action.
The knee action, right.
So I took it over and sold.
Yeah, you better put a brake on that one. Yes. If anyone ever offers you a penny for your thoughts, take it. And give them back some change. If an airplane mechanic works on an airplane, what is an automobile mechanic off? Do you know anything about automobiles, Mr. Shelton?
No, I fly an airplane.
You fly a twin-motor plane, Mr. Shelton?
No, I fly a tri-motor plane. If one motor fails, I can fly another.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a charming girl walking along the road the other day, so I stopped my car and said, would you like a lift? He said, yes, I'm going over to New Jersey. Will you run me over?
And what'd you do?
The case comes up next week.
Have a good lawyer.
No, that's why I like airplanes.
You like airplanes better?
Yeah, that's a great thing. You can leave New York tonight, one night, and the next morning before you put your pants on, you're in Alaska.
Oh, that's not for me. I wouldn't want to be in Alaska without pants.
Johnny, will you step in here and just find me three crack cylinder heads, 202 full of par cigarettes, and give them to some lady or gentleman in the audience?
Thank you, Mr. Howard.
Thank you.
Our first contestant this evening, Ken. Very nice, gentlemen, Mr. Howard. I should like to present to you Mr. Boris Morris.
Oh, Mr. Boris Morris. Well, good evening, Mr. Morris, and thank you a lot for coming up to our microphone. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Tom Howard. Good evening, George Felton. Good evening, Lou McConnell. And good evening, Paul McNutton.
Well, that carries them all. Did you speak to Salter there?
Oh, yeah. How are you, Harry Salter?
Well, we're very glad to have you, Mr. Morris, I'm sure. Where are you from, would you care to tell us?
I just came from Hollywood, California.
Hollywood, California.
Hollywood, California.
That's right.
Well, put a firecracker in my shoe and call me Hopalong Cassidy.
I see.
I used to work in that town.
Well,
yeah, I was a doctor in a delicatessen store.
You were a doctor in a delicatessen store?
I used to examine the tone.
Maybe I should go here, Mr. What are you doing in New York? On a visit? Would you mind telling us?
Well, Sammy, I came here to be present at the opening of my last motion picture called Carnegie Hall.
Oh, this is Mr. Morris to produce Carnegie Hall. Well, I didn't realize at first. Hey. About Carnegie Hall, Mr. Morris. When do you expect to open the picture?
I open at the end of April at the Winter Garden.
At the Winter Garden at the end of April.
Right.
Well, from what I've heard about the picture, it must be a great epic.
It looks like it may be one of the biggest musical pictures ever produced.
Is that so?
I think I'm going to have the New York Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by five symphony conductors, Leopold Spakovsky, Walter Damrosch, Bruno Walter, Fritz Steiner, and Arthur Agnewski. It also has the three greatest instrumentalists in the world, Jasper Heifetz, Arthur Rubinstein, and Gregory Tsigorsky. Also, it has the four greatest singers, Lily Frank, Teresa Stevens, Jen Pierce, and Ezio Pienza. And also two popular performers, Mary James and Juan Manuel.
Oh, boy, it sounds... Mr. Morris! That sounds like the lineup of the Notre Dame football team, if you ask me. Well, that certainly is going to be a great picture with all those artists, I must say.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Morris? How do you do? Greetings to the land of sunshine and technicolor.
Oh, he loves that.
I made a picture last year out in Hollywood called Breakfast in Bed.
Breakfast in Bed. Did you have a big role?
Oh, just a cup of coffee and a few crackers.
Pay no attention to him, Mr. Morris. Tell me something. Are you married, Mr. Morris?
Yeah, I have one wife and one son.
One wife and one son.
Boy, you're in a rut.
Is your wife with you this evening?
The most beautiful lady in the audience.
Oh, in the audience. Right. My. Will she stand up and let us see the most beautiful lady in the audience, please? They're all standing. Well, it certainly is a pleasure, huh?
Do you always take your wife with you when you go out?
Always do.
He always takes his wife with you. That's no concern of yours.
You You don't know what concerns me.
I...
How long have you been married, Mr. Mars?
38 years, son.
38 years?
Oh, no, 28.
Oh, 28 years. And you still look good. That's fun. Well, that sounds like somewhat of a record, 28 years, especially when you live in Hollywood. We certainly are glad to have you with us.
Yeah, but you are. What's your first name, honey?
Boris. Not Stuart Morris. Boris Morris.
Boris. Oh, Boris.
Yes, Boris.
Cute name, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a cute kid, too.
All right.
Oh, boy, he's a kid, Tootsie Roll. He's a cute, Tootsie Roll.
Stop it.
Well, you can just call me vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
I come clean.
Yeah. Yeah, but your bag is overstuffed. Mr. Mars, you'll do us a favor at this point. If you'll reach into Johnny's cap and pick out a question for us, please.
Oh.
And will you read the question if you don't mind?
What holiday is mentioned in the song Easter Parade?
Good. What holiday is mentioned in the song Easter Parade?
Who wrote the song, Mr. Harris?
Please, the name of the man who wrote it is irrelevant.
Irrelevant? What's his first name?
Please.
Please, irrelevant?
Ah, cut it out.
That's an odd name, isn't it?
Mr. McGraw, why don't you stand up and show the people how big an idiot you are?
You stand up first.
I said, will you please listen to the question again?
Why?
So you'll be able to answer it.
Well, who wants to answer it? You, Miss McCarthy?
Well, that's the question.
What holiday is mentioned in the song Easter Parade?
Who wrote the song?
That's what I asked him before, but he wouldn't tell me.
Oh, he wouldn't. Why didn't you tell Mr. McDonald who wrote the song?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Is it a secret?
Look.
You hollered at us because we can't answer your question.
Look.
When will you ask you a simple, simple question, you wouldn't answer us.
Look.
Is that justice? Is that cooperation? You dumb fuck you.
Sheldon, have you been stupid all your life?
Don't be silly. I haven't lived all my life yet.
What a pity that is.
Who wrote the song?
All right, Irving Berlin, if it will make you happy.
Irving Berlin can make me very happy.
All right. Can you answer the question?
What question?
Mr. Hart, didn't Irving Berlin write Alexander's Ragtime Band?
That is correct.
It is? Fine. Shall we go on to the next question?
Well, why do you know? Mr. McNaughton answered the question.
Congratulations, Mr. McNaughton.
Oh, yes.
Will you cut it out?
It was nothing, and nothing at all.
Carry on.
Let's get on here.
Please, Mr. Sheldon, you have in your possession the secret of complete imbecility.
Yeah, and I'm not letting it out to anyone.
All right. What holiday is mentioned in the song Easter Parade? Wait, I'll sing a few bars.
There goes our hooperating.
Wow. Mr. Sheldon, give me an arpeggio.
Give him lines on it.
Never mind. All right, Thomas. In your Easter bonnet. With all the thrills upon it.
Is that a popular song?
Your boyfriend's lady in a Easter parade.
What, before he started singing?
I will be in the clover.
Seasonally partner song.
When they look me over.
Just try singing with his mouth.
I'll be yellow in the Easter. Well, now that I stop singing, what holiday comes to your mind?
Thanksgiving.
Come in here, Johnny, will you?
Yes, Mr. Howard.
And give our good friend, Mr. Morris, $24.60, or 67 cents, in case he wants to produce another picture. Also, 201 for the bar cigarette.
That will be a pleasure.
And thank you, Mr. Morris. Ken, how about getting our friend Harry Sauter on the job?
Fine, Tom, and he's here to play a song that sounds vaguely familiar. It's called Easter Parade.
Fine, now we'll hear how it really sounds.
come. We have a very charming lady with us now, and I should like to introduce to you Miss Virginia Mann.
Oh, fine. Good evening, Miss Mann, and thank you a lot for coming up. How are you this evening?
Quite well, thank you.
Well, thanks for coming, and I'm glad to hear that. Where are you from, would you care to tell us? That is your hometown.
New York City.
Oh, New York City, right. It's Rome,
New York City.
Yes.
Well, put a firecracker in my shoe.
Wait a minute. Cut it out. You already said that.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I'm repeating.
You're repeating.
Yeah, I always do that when I eat onions.
All right. Don't pay any attention to them, please. I'm sorry for the interruption, Miss Mann. What is your work or your profession?
Well, I'm in the theatrical profession.
Oh, yes? What branch of the profession?
In the dramatic and vaudeville, I want.
Oh, is that so? Well, that's very, very interesting. Yes, sir. I remember way back in those days, vaudeville was a great thing.
How do you do, Miss Mann? How do you do? Greetings. I remember the night I opened in my first play. When the curtain fell, the audience stood up in the aisle.
Yeah? Did they call you back?
Yeah, they dared me to come back.
I
had some swell lines when I was in the theater.
You had some swell lines. Now you got them in your face. Hey, no, are you appearing in any shows at the present time?
No, not just now.
Well, things have sure changed, Miss Mann, in show business since the days of vaudeville. And those good old stock companies, I suppose you remember them?
Yeah, I do.
Every city in the country had one or two dramatic stock companies, and every member was a favorite.
That's right, Mr. Howard. Quite many of those stars came out of those companies.
That's right. And boy, that's where they got their schooling. I remember such shows days back as Birth of the Soul Machine Girl, Way Down East, Nellie the Beautiful Cloak Model, The Old Homestead.
Oh, Mr. Howard, I was in The Old Homestead.
You were?
You were? Well, really, what were you in The Old Homestead?
The Bay Window.
And don't forget the burlesque shows of long ago, Mr. Howard.
I don't forget them, Mr. Sheldon. How can you forget Bobby Clark, Billy Gilbert, Pat White, Walter Houston, Molly Williams, Burt Lahr?
Tom Howard.
Yes, I also started there. I certainly would like to live those days all over again.
Why didn't you cause enough suffering?
Please. Well, Miss Mann, it sure has been a pleasure talking to you. I've enjoyed it. It has sure brought back pleasant memories. Now, will you reach into Johnny's cap and pick out a question for us, please? And would you be good enough to read the question, if you don't mind?
What relation to each other were the Wright brothers?
Thank you. What relation? It's going to be tough. What relation to each other were the Wright brothers?
Mr. Howard, that's a splendid question.
Yes, I'm glad you think so. Do you know the answer to it?
I'm sure that's splendid, too.
I see. Listen up. When was it discovered you were an imbecile?
Just sort of leaked out, gradually.
Uh-huh. The question is, what relation to each other were the Wright brothers? Mr. Sheldon, are you the oldest in your family?
No, my grandfather is.
I'm talking about your immediate family. Have you any brothers or sisters?
Well, there's Millie. She's my oldest sister.
Uh-huh. Who comes after her?
Nobody, but my old man says the first one that does can have her.
I see.
I gave him a very, very nice family.
You did.
Which side of the house do you resemble?
What?
Which side of the house do you resemble?
The back porch. That's gone here.
I came from a very remarkable family. I tracked them back to Columbus.
You tracked them back to Columbus?
Yeah, but when I got there, they'd moved to Akron.
Then, Mr. Jones, did you ever look up your family tree?
Sure.
What happened?
He got hit in the head with a coconut.
Oh, yeah. Well, I came from a great family. Now, you take my great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Oh, there was quite a tale attached to him.
Mr. Sheldon, you're not kidding. Now, let's get back to the question, what relation to each other were the Wright brothers?
You know, my family, Mr. Howe, were all very highly regarded in England. Years ago, the king tapped my great-grandfather on the head with his sword and made him a duke. Mm-hmm.
So what? A policeman tapped my great-grandfather on the head with his sword and made him an angel.
Nice.
Look, we're not interested in family tree.
You know, my family didn't have a tree. It was more of a plant.
A plan?
Yeah. All my people were potted.
I have a very eccentric grandfather, you know.
You have a very eccentric grandfather.
Yeah, he's 80 years old. And we found something sliding down our banisters. So we wrapped barbed wire around it.
Is that stopping?
No, but it slowed him up a bit.
I don't believe any of you ever had any relatives.
Who did? Why, I had three fathers by my first mother and two mothers by my second father.
Could that happen?
We lived in Hollywood.
Well, I only grandmother, but she was a very remarkable woman. She had something no other woman had.
And your old man married her. Let's get on.
Never mind for you, though. I'm terribly anxious to get home to my wife tonight. I had to have her up here this morning. She couldn't breathe.
Goodness, what was the trouble?
The girdle was too tight. I hope she snapped out of it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
My grandmother is sick, too. She broke her arm.
Broke her arm? How did that happen?
It slipped off the $2 winner at Hialeah.
Oh, all right, thank you. Ted, will you step in here and give our charming guest $25.33 for helping us out? Also, 204 Philip Morris cigarettes.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. Thank you.
Don't go away. I'll return in just a minute. Meanwhile, here's our ignorant baritone, who was thrown out of the first grade of the Fairmount School in Hackensack, New Jersey, to tell you what we mean when we say...
In Sunday night when Johnny presents Crime Doctor over these same stations. Until then... Hello.
That wet blanket for lazy to tell us we've got to stop cluttering up the airways. For the time being, at least. But we'll be back cluttering in the near future again. If you can afford to waste a half hour, try and be with us. We'd all love to have you. Thank you for tuning in on us this evening. Good night and good nonsense.
This is Ken Roberts saying good night to Philip Morris. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Stay tuned now for the one and only Maisie, starring Ann Southern.